Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. Great day. That's a beautiful song by New Creation Church, New Creation Worship. All right. Titled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Okay. So where's my title? Okay. Found my title. Okay, where's it hiding? Okay. Finished. Yeah. I was supposed to forget that. All right. So that's a beautiful song by New Creation Worship. Titled finished, and yes, a whole lot's finished. All right, praise God. So good morning and welcome. I believe you're having a great time with this series. I believe there's enlightenment. I believe there's clarity. We're looking at Beyond Calvary. Okay, this is episode 4 of Beyond Calvary. Why are we talking about Beyond Calvary? Because the Church of Jesus Christ has to see the full picture, okay, of what was done for us. Jesus Christ was crucified. But the story doesn't end there. We do not get born again by saying Jesus was crucified, right? But we cannot talk about anything without talking about crucifixion. It's a total package. In getting born again, Romans 10 lets us know that you have to believe in your heart, all right, that God raised him from the dead. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So there's the believing in the heart that God raised him from the dead. We looked at 1 Corinthians 15. It says, if Christ is not risen, then we're still in our sins. So the glory of it all is not the crucifixion. There is glory in the crucifixion. Depends on how you see the crucifixion, you know, represented death, which was defeat. He died, you know, for us. Of course, there are two major, should I say, schools of thought in that area, right? So some would teach and say, you know, so he died a sinner on the cross and then went to hell, paid the price, resurrected. So some say, no, he didn't go to hell. So there's the argument about that. But one basic thing everybody agrees on was, okay, he died for our sins, all right? He paid the price. So there's an argument on when. It's like when you study end time, all right? So would the Antichrist show up before the church is raptured? Would the church rapture after the Antichrist show? You know, so there's Antichrist, there's well, really, it's better than that. We need to be clearer on a number of all those things. Okay, so we can't keep guessing and guessing, and that's our world study. But in a place of study, you find that there are different schools of thought. One of the things I do first is, okay, find the point of agreement. I have what I think, you have what you think, but this is what we agree, right? Yeah, right. So let's start from there. And then we'll move on. But what I'm trying to communicate is a lot happened beyond the cross. That is agreed by everybody, right? A lot happened beyond the cross. And there were certain things that you know, no matter what line of thought you are in, resurrection, nobody argues on, oh, he resurrected on the cross. I mean, so let's look at the impact of the things that happened beyond the cross. Beyond the cross. You know, we sing, you came from heaven to earth, show the way, and then, so we end it with from the, you know, grave to the sky, all right? So he's not in the sky. He's seated at the right hand. So, you know, where's your song in the sky? Of course, I know the writer of the song might not have thought of sky, right? So he's seated. So all of this process, all right, from his suffering to his sitting, they mean something to the church. They mean something to you. They spell victory for you. I mean, when the devil was crucifying Jesus, Bible said, all right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, had they not known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the crucifixion seemed, all right, like defeat, like the enemy has won. So yes, we've killed him. But all that was just fulfillment of prophecy. He had to die. So had the devil known, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because in him being crucified, in him being killed, he was a sacrifice. He was our substitute. He took away our sin. He took away our sickness. And right there, Colossians tells us that he nailed the law to the cross. All right, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All right, he nailed those handwritings of ordinances that were against us. Nailed them as they thought they were nailing him to the cross. They were sealing the coffin, as it were, of the Old Testament. Sealing it, closing it up. So you and I are here now, all right, born again, Okay, but you must have a value for what has been done for you. So in John 14, we saw Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. He said, so that where I am, there you may be also. But we've come to understand that he wasn't talking about the physical being together. So it's not, oh, so you will die and then you will come to meet me. No. Because he said to them in John chapter 14, same John 14, he said, I will send the promise of the Father to you, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he came back to them, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So they knew that, oh, he's here. But that looks like, well, yeah, I already know that. Yes, you do. But do you remember, if you were with us, all right, on the series, well, we talked about the blessing of Abraham, and then we talked about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, we began this thought, talking about the blessing of Abraham, that God had promised Abraham the Holy Spirit. All the prophets of the Old Testament, there was a promise of the Spirit. But Hebrews 11 tells us that none of them received the promise. Oh, guys, please, let's not become familiar with the presence of the Spirit. That precious presence of the Holy Ghost. He's everything. He's everything. Everything to you, everything to me. The generality of the people of Israel did not have the Holy Ghost, not even on them. They couldn't even have the Spirit of God on them. Only the kings, the priests, the prophets, and a few anointed folk. Only those. Moses couldn't have the Holy Ghost in him. Some say, but he still lived a better life. Depends on what you're talking about. All right? The issue, yes, would be the fact that we are yet to learn how to maximize what we have received. But Jesus made it clear, of all the men born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. So he wasn't talking about power. He was talking about essence. He was talking about assignment. And he said, but all those in the kingdom, John the Baptist is the least. So what the Holy Ghost is doing now is enlightening we that are in the kingdom. See what you have. See what's been given to you. See what they never could get. None of them could talk in tongues. None of them. Oh, dear Lord. I think I'm way ahead of myself. So I welcome you to this series. I could love to ask that you listen to it again. And then if you have questions, hey, I'll be glad, all right, to answer your questions. You could drop your questions here. Just send an email to rex, all right, onasanya@gmail.com, rex, all right, onasanya, all right. So you could just check just exactly what you find, right, my name right here on Spreaker, which is Lion Rex Onasanya. So the email is the last two, rex and onasanya at gmail.com. You could just, let's get deeper into God's word. There are very many, you know, many times believers just shy away from a lot of topics. Most believers don't even know much. So why did Jesus die? He died now because he loved me. Yes, but we could go through scripture. And then you see. And then many believers could say, I have right to the presence of God. How do you explain it from scripture? How do we explain it from scripture? So we'll go to NIV now, all right? So we'll read Hebrews chapter 10, all right, 19 and 20. We read this in King James, but we'll now do that in NIV this morning. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, look at 20. It says, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Yeah, I said that yesterday from King James, that when his body was broken, the curtain tore. When his body was broken, the curtain tore. So by the tearing, as it were, of a body, all right, the breaking of his body, his crucifixion, right, at the point of him dying, his body broke for us. His body, you know, tore, as it were. We find the temple tearing. So what was the significance? The place that had been hidden. Hidden even from the priests. The most holy place is now made available, made visible. Meaning the presence of God is no longer in a hiding. Meaning the presence of God is no longer restricted. Meaning access into the presence of God is now free, is now available, it's now opened. Oh, glory to God. So read quickly Hebrews 9 from the first verse. It says, now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. Read this yesterday, I was reading NIV. A tabernacle was set up. In the first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. Right, this is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. So two places, holy, all right, and then most holy place. There's the general outer court. There are actually three courts, all right? There's the outer court, then the inner court or the holy place, then the innermost court, the most holy place, all right? So the outer court, you have the people there, all right? Then the inner court, you have the priests, right, offering the sacrifices day in, day out. Then the holy, most holy place, only the high priest. Verse 4 says, the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained a gold jar of manna, Aaron's rod that had budded, and stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, all right, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest, please notice, only the high priest entered the inner room, and there only, and that only once a year, never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people, or for the sins of people that committed in ignorance. Watch verse 8, please. The Holy Ghost was showing by this that the way, please note the use of the word way. The Holy Ghost was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. I need to read that again. The Holy Ghost was showing, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. The Holy Ghost was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drinks and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. 11 says, but when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, not of this creation. That means there's a tabernacle in heaven. And please remember that when God showed Moses the structure and the pattern on the mountain, God said, build according to what I showed you. So it is believed that Moses saw, all right, a picture of the heavenly tabernacle. And then God said, build according. So not like God just gave him dimensions like Noah. God showed Moses something. And God said, build according to that pattern. So we find that there is a tabernacle in heaven. Please understand that there is a tabernacle in heaven, right? Because Bible is saying that Jesus entered, all right? Verse 12, he did not enter by means of blood, of the blood of bulls, all right, and goats. Okay, no, let me pick 11 into 12. All right, when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, not of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and of cows, but he entered the most holy place once and for all. All right, so there is a most holy place, but he didn't enter the one in Jerusalem. So he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. I want you to see the 23rd and the 24th verse. We read 24 from King James yesterday. So reading 23, 24 now. NIV. It was necessary then, watch this, for the copies. Let me read 21. In the same way, all right, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in his ceremony. He's talking about Moses. All right. 22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. I want you to notice something here, please. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. To remit means to blot out, to obliterate, to wipe off, all right? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So, 23, it was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than this stuff. So the high priest, all right, on the earth, goes into the most holy place with the blood of goats and the blood of cows, and he sprinkles the mercy seat, sprinkles, he offers a sacrifice. So the Bible is saying here in the 23rd verse that the heavenly version also needed to be cleansed, needed to be purified, but not the blood of goats and cows, but with a greater sacrifice. Oh my goodness, why would we need to purify anything in heaven? It is believed, guys, that the sin of Adam impacted upon heaven. The sin of Adam impacted upon heaven. So Adam affected man's place completely, all right? So do we ever think that, okay, so maybe when God was fellowshipping with man, man could have certain times he could go play, visit God in heaven and all. We cannot, okay, I right now cannot say too much about that. But there seemed to have been a place given for man already, created for man, that the sin of Adam impacted. That the sin of Adam impacted. So heaven had to be purified. All right, the sanctuary had to be purified before man, before humanity could be brought in, before man could be brought in. So I need you to get this. So he's saying that for the copies of the heavenly things, all right, it was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things, all right, to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear right for us in God's presence. So he says, I go to prepare a place. This is preparation. So he said to Mary, don't handle me yet. Don't hold me. Don't grab onto me yet. I am still on a journey. I'm on the priestly journey. I'm done with being the lamb. All right, in that I have taken the sin. All right, sin has been put on me. I've died with the sin. All right, I've shed the blood, but I need to now go appear as the high priest. I've got to go into the very sanctuary, into the very tabernacles of heaven. I've got to go present myself. I've got to go to the mercy seat. I've got to. So you need to understand clearly how this works. You need to understand clearly how this works. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see in Hebrews chapter 4, all right, and the 14th verse. I'll pick it quickly from the 14th verse of Hebrews 4. That therefore, since we have a great high priest that is ascended into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one that has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So we have a high priest. We have a high priest, all right? So Jesus Christ is our high priest. So he's entered into the most holy place, but he's not entering year in, year out. No, he's not. He's not entering year in, year out. And the beautiful thing is this, as much as Mary couldn't hold on to him physically, we were with him spiritually. He didn't abandon us in the middle of the road. He didn't abandon us in the middle of the road. So you've got to see this. He entered into heaven. He entered as a high priest of humanity into heaven. He went to prepare a place for us. Bible said in Hebrews 9 that we read that he went into the very presence of God for us. So all of a sudden, we are in the presence of God without physically being in the presence of God. And Jesus is still active on the earth without being active here on earth, because there's almost like a swap of roles. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that he died for us. Therefore, we live for him. Oh, but now access to God's presence. Access to God's presence. Access to God's presence. The sacredness. Do you remember when the nation of Israel had a battle? All right, of course, once the ark is seen on the battleground, they are excited. They're excited. You remember the case of Ophni and Phinehas? The sons of Eli? They carried the ark to the battlefront. They were priests. And when Eli heard, okay, that his sons were dead, okay. But the moment he heard that the ark had been captured, the man fell off the chair, broke his neck. Oh, because the ark was precious. Oh, the very presence of God. The very, very presence of God. Israel's confidence rests in the ark. Israel knew that this ark is God is with us. The high priest approached that presence of the ark. Oh, with caution, with blood. He's, oh, dear Lord. That presence, that holy, majestic presence. Many a times, Moses would go into the tent of meeting. Everybody would stare afar off. Only Joshua would try to stay by the door of the tent. And Moses would fellowship and interact with God. The sons of Aaron, they offered strange fire without, they didn't have a business doing what they were doing. And right there, they died. So the people of Israel would buy by the experiences and by the things told to them from when the ark had been built. Hey guys, you don't move near that ark. Guys, you don't toy with that ark. Guy, you don't mess with the ark. Oh no, you don't. Oh no, you don't. You remember Uzzah? Come on. And then they send the ark to the house of Abed-Edom. Guys, the temple was a place of worship, a place of God's presence, because there was a presence of the ark there. The ark communicated with the cherubims and everything, with the mercy seat. Solomon said, if you pray anywhere, just face Jerusalem. Yeah, the temple was there. The ark was there. And then Paul shows up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the 16th verse of 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, don't you know? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Don't you know that the Spirit of God lives in you? Don't you know? You are God's temple. God's own Spirit lives inside of you. You're like, what? And we know these things. We sing these things. But we mustn't. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Guys, it means you and I right now can see the physical ark. I mean, it's been stolen anyway very many years ago. We could see the physical ark and grab it. I mean, with all due respect, if I could just say it that way. We could even use it to play table tennis. And nothing will happen to any new creature. Nothing will happen to anybody, because whatever made the ark glorious now tabernacles inside us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know? Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives inside you? Don't you know? Amplified says that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you. That presence upon the ark, hallelujah, now lives in the new creature. Knowing that God said in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, 2 Corinthians now, 6 and 16, he said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. I will. So this is so beautiful, that glorious, oh dear Lord Jesus, Beyond Calvary. Beyond Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Paul in Colossians chapter 1. In verse 25, I'm reading NIV. Colossians 1:25 says, I have become its servant. Talking about the message and the church. All right. I become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. 26 says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, all right, but is now disclosed to God's people or to the Lord's people. 27, to whom the Lord or God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's hardly a believer that knows this thing. That knows this verse. Hardly any Christian are going to come in contact with who doesn't know the verse. But Bible says this was something, a mystery, a secret, hidden from generations. Hidden from generations. And God has now made it known to us. Hidden from generations. God has made it known to us. That Christ in you. Christ in you. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of the anointing. The presence of the anointed one. Corinthians, we just saw 1 Corinthians 3:16, that you are the temple. The Spirit has permanent dwelling. Oh, hallelujah. Christ is in you. So Jesus said, I go to prepare a place that where I am, there you may be. So now he is in us. And if any man be in Christ, we are in him. Where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. Oh, oh, hallelujah. 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 And Ephesians chapter 2 tells us from the fourth verse. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we're dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. That didn't happen on the cross. That began on the cross. There's a completeness beyond Calvary. We start at Calvary, we end when he sat down. And glory to God, all of that process, he carried us in him, doing them in him, such that everything God did to him, God did to us. So you and I have been blood washed. You and I have been accepted. You and I have access into the very presence of God. You and I are seated together with him, having full rights and privileges of God's own son. Glory to God. This is so beautiful. So awesome. Wow. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a very, very